Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words for our sermon today are the words from Matthew, read to you just a moment ago. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. The gospel lesson shows an Advent picture. The Lord Jesus riding into Jerusalem in kingly majesty and receiving the praises and hosannas of the people who lay their palm branches and their garments before him. And as in every Sanctus that is sung in every communion service, we are invited to move into that picture and to line ourselves up with the multitude who shout their tributes and praises to the royal Son of David, the Messiah sent to save. May we too recognize the great reality, the King is coming, and pray the Advent prayer, come, gracious Lord, our hearts renew, that we may receive thee at every occasion of thy coming. His birth in Bethlehem was an occasion of his coming. His entry into Jerusalem to begin the Passion Week of Atonement was an occasion of his coming. His revelations of his presence in word and sacrament are occasions of his coming. And his appearance to raise the dead and to reign forever in his kingdom will be the most glorious occasion of his coming that will ever be granted to us. With the thought that the King is coming, there always arises the question that's stated in the well-known hymn, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright? On one level, it would seem perfectly understandable to have great anxiety at the thought of meeting the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe. There was a president of the United States, never mind which one, who heard of a boy called Paul who was dying of cancer and who had expressed a wish to meet the president before he died. So one day, a big limousine pulled up in front of Paul's house, and he and his father came to the door to answer the bell. There was the president coming unannounced and saying, Paul, I understand that you want to see me. But I tell this story really about Paul's father, who never forgot how he looked the day he met the president, wearing ragged jeans, an old dirty shirt, and lots of whiskers because he had slept late that morning. And he always wished he could have looked better to meet the great man. The Lord Jesus tells us that he too is going to pay us a surprise visit. We know that, but we don't know when. Will we be ready for him? Of course, it's more than a matter of social embarrassment and an appropriate appearance, as in the story about Paul's father. It's the knowledge of our sins. The coming King is the judge of all the earth with power to punish disobedience and transgression. The best of us have consciences that are filthy as sewers if judged rightly by his holy law. There was a British minister who delivered sermons in the chapel of one of the kings of England in the days when the monarchs of that country were more than mere figureheads and had power to take measures against those who annoyed him. And he said, when I preach, I know I am standing before a great and mighty monarch, his royal majesty, whose anger can mean death, and so I fear to displease him. But I remember another thing. I am the ambassador of a greater and mightier king, the everlasting king, who is none other than the Almighty God. Therefore, I am even more afraid of arousing his anger. Can we really rejoice and sing that the King is coming to us? The answer in the gospel story is yes. The king did not come to Jerusalem angry and zealous to punish sinners, but gentle, bringing the grace of salvation and forgiveness, humble and lowly to the point of being ready to die for sinners to blot out their iniquities, which took place later in that week. He came in compassion for sinners. Luke says that he drew near to Jerusalem with tears in his eyes for the wicked and impenitent people who did not recognize what they needed for their peace, grounded in reconciliation with their God. And he came riding a donkey. No donkey in the history of the world ever played a greater role than that one, which served as a symbol of his purpose of peace. The palm-waving crowd saw him as the king of salvation when they sang Hosanna, literally save us in Hebrew. I like the Hosanna. It's such an economical word. It's a word of praise to the king of salvation and a prayer to him to give us salvation, all in one and the same word at the same time. May it ever be on our lips. The king will bring judgment upon those who do not seek his peace with repentant hearts. And there are horrific prophecies in the New Testament about that. But it is very comforting to the church trusting in his gospel promises to the daughter of Zion in the latter days to know with confidence that he will not come on the last day to condemn us for our sins. He will come as he has come in the past, as he came to Jerusalem, as the king of salvation, to bestow his salvation upon us in its glorious fullness, in his everlasting kingdom. That's the true meaning of the hymn verse, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright. Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O kindle, Lord most holy, your lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. The way to prepare for his second coming is to remember his first coming, to continue in faith in him, to continue in the works of faith that are spoken about in the epistle for today, to continue in the life of his kingdom, to continue in communion with him. And when he comes on that last day, he will share his glory with us. And all this continuance will continue to continue. Not only that, but he comes to us now in his word and absolution and baptism and the Holy Supper, bestowing his benefits to help us prepare for his visible coming and appearance. Everywhere we look in his kingdom, there is his grace operating to help us prepare for his visible coming. Paul's father in the story was concerned about having the right things, wearing the right things to meet the president. We need have no anxiety about what to wear to meet the coming king. The epistle for today tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the sermon last Monday in this chapel told us, that is really saying in the original Greek, be clothed with Christ, clothe yourself with Christ. Put on the dressing of life in him. And as also was said in the Monday sermon, we already have that Christ clothing on us. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The point is that we continue endlessly to put on Christ by ongoing daily repentance and renewal of faith. That's continuance again. I won't continue this sermon any longer. The Advent longing for the King continues in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.